Yeah, my heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus. Our hearts sing. It would seem that that doesn't quite sound right. And yet, just like Oscar would sing because he's got this sense of a schmacko on the way, we sing. Our hearts sing because of what God has done in and through Jesus Christ and his grace into the world. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Oh, that's good. That's good. It's not communion time just yet, okay? But we don't have communion in our second service. I just wanted to see if you remembered the words. And you're good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hip hip. Knock knock. Very, very good. Achoo! Ah, there you go. There is something about who we are and the way in which God has made us that allows us to kind of respond when something in our mind gets triggered. We don't even know what that is. We just hear something and then we respond to it. I want to get beyond just the hearing today, but that's a pretty good place to start. And as Lutherans, and probably many other Christians in the world, that whole sense of who we are as people who respond is probably because of the liturgy that we enjoy every Sunday morning, isn't it? You love liturgy, don't you? Lutherans, yes. Oh, no, not sure. All right. We've done it for decades. We've probably done it for centuries. We, you know, the leader of the worship service or the pastor would say something and you will respond to that. And often you get so in tune with it, you don't even have to look down at a page or up on a screen. You just know what to say. I want to dwell on that sense of who we are as people who respond, not just to liturgy, but to every other thing that God provides to us in our lives. There is that part of that brain. It's somewhere deep down inside. Like I said, I don't know what it's called, but it recognizes a need to respond to a series of words that just make us say, "Ooh, I think I'm supposed to say something here." It's a pastor's way of keeping Lutherans awake, I think. It's so embarrassing when you get to like the 60th minute in a service and everyone's passed out in the pews. It's not a good look. It's bad enough when that happens during the sermon. This capacity to respond without thinking is one of the most mysterious yet incredibly marvelous parts of the human form. And it's amazing how being responsive is really part and parcel of God's design for who we are, for our lives. For our lives lived every day, but our lives lived in Him. When I was a pastor in Port Lincoln, which was just after I was ordained, I went over there and spent 4 or 5 years. And in the early days, I met a lady who was part of our congregation. Her name was Vera. And she was a lovely lady. She would sit, I think about third pew back, every Sunday morning, her and her husband. Just delightful. But as time went on, Vera became ill and she began to suffer the effects of dementia. And after a little while, it got to the point where she needed to be shifted into a nursing home. And so her husband would go and visit with Vera there. And from time to time, I was given the opportunity to go along, to sit with him alongside Vera. The disease, however, had taken away her capacity to speak or to get out of bed or pretty much do anything for herself. And so you would go along and you would spend time with Vera. And then on this one occasion, I remember, her husband pulled out an old German hymnal. and he opened up to a page that was, "Jesus loves me, this I know," but in German. And he began to sing. And what do you think happened? Can you believe that? No words. No opportunity within her physical makeup to be able to even say good morning. No chance of responding to liturgy. Not even the capacity to speak to her own husband. And yet there is something in the hymn that runs a lot deeper than anything we might want to be able to say or hope for in terms of a response. And at the end of that visit, I do remember praying with Norm and with Vera, and then these words came out, except it had the "Our Father who art in heaven." And guess what happened? She knew the words. She spoke the words. Her lips began to move, and although you couldn't hear her very well, she was responding. It's a gift that God acts in our lives and we respond. And it's perhaps one of those greatest pieces of Lutheran theology that provides us with that assurance of our place before God. It shows us exactly who we are, as he always acts first, and then he invites us to respond. And so when he acts, and when we hear something and it goes through our earlobes and into our brain, it's more than that. I think the story about Vera and about the story of our own lives is that when God acts and when he tells us what he does for us, it goes beyond the ear and beyond the brain, and it moves all of its way down into our hearts. That's why I love that confirmation curriculum that's called Head to the Heart. Because you can teach children as much as you want to teach children so that you fill their brain. But when it comes to God and to faith and to the grace he offers, it needs to filter down into the hearts, and then we respond. Perhaps you may know what it's like for you when God speaks into your heart. How do you respond? Well, there are many in God's story who were made mediators of God's word in the communities in which they lived, all through the centuries, even before the time of Jesus. It is ultimately the man Jesus of Nazareth who became the spokesman for all things God, and not the least of which was the grace that he wished to impart into the world at that time and continues to wish to impart upon you and me. And it's this grace of God that never ever runs out of steam, and the words of Jesus are as relevant to us today as they have ever been. Now, I'll try to do it with the kids, but it's those words of Jesus that speak to you, "I am the living bread. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden and sick and tired. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. I have come to give life and to give it abundantly." And then the words from the cross, "Forgive them, Father." And so if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul puts it like this: "For by grace you have been saved." It's not head knowledge. It's looking to go deep into the heart. "And this is not your own doing, for you are God's workmanship, created in Christ," as Paul says, but it's so much more than just created in Christ. "For as God sends his Spirit into the world and his Spirit into you, it becomes a recreation, a great part of God's plan for our lives to become a complete response to his love for us." Now, Jesus was quite implicit about lots of things that he was sharing about God's love and about God's grace. But there were times in which he was particularly explicit. And you don't have to look too far away from the cross to see the number one most explicit word that Jesus ever uttered. After the cross, however, and in the form of a resurrected Redeemer, Jesus enters a room with his disciples. And you can imagine these guys who had spent years with Jesus, living in the celebration of having found a man and a Lord and a Redeemer and someone to follow, and it had changed their complete lives. And the grace that they had learned about through the lips of Jesus had changed everything for them. But now the cross speaks, and they are afraid. In fear of the Jews, in fear of their lives, and in fear of that grace that has seemingly abandoned them. And there will be times in your own lives, as followers of Jesus, as followers of his word, as his grace goes deep into your hearts, that you will feel the possibility of being abandoned. But then in that moment with his disciples, Jesus appears and he says words to them that stand at the pinnacle of all words that have ever been uttered in the history of the world. And they are words that demanded a response so radical that they are responsible for the very reason you are here this morning sitting in the pew that you are. That's how radical. What are those words? Peace be with you. And then, just in case these disciples were sort of like too shaken to kind of get a sense of who this apparition was of Jesus standing before them, he said it again. Peace be with you. And then he said some other stuff. But just before I share about that, turn to the person next to you. Say to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Jesus goes on, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he did the most incredible thing. He breathed on them, and in that instance, the world was changed, and the very breath of God breathed into the lungs of those who would start a movement that nobody could stop. The same Spirit responsible for the creation of the world now being breathed in order to recreate and to give each human being the potential to use their lives as a living response to grace. Jesus goes on, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Just a story, a second story from my days in Port Lincoln to finish with. When we were over there, the congregation saw fit to build a school. And today there's a school over there called Navigator College. And in my days there, I was able to become a pastor who, from the parish, was able to go in and take some chapels and so forth. And I was taken aback one day when, after taking a chapel, a parent came to me and she wanted to share with me some words that I had said. And I would be saying them at each and every chapel. Right at the end, I would give the blessing. And she said that there was no other place in her life or in her children's life where they would be blessed. And she wanted to thank me simply because she'd found a community, she had found a place where God's word was blessing her children. The words of the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. That was a community in which God worked and allowed us to respond in order that his love and grace would go out. Not just words, but actions. And I think in this community, this is where Cornerstone College comes in. Often our school up on the hill might be perceived as a separate entity to the work of congregations in our community, but it's not. Our existence is a result of God's work in you and in your congregation, and is an ever-present extension of his grace in this town we call Mount Barker. And I suppose this is why we are here today, to give thanks for you that a place like Cornerstone exists and that you value the work of the Spirit that has moved outward and onward in a place like that.